Yep. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit. Take the breath that's been magnified or magnetized with these words and flow into the palms of your hand and take it as your teacher offering you a blessing. Our teacher, an icon, offering his blessing. So we're continuing on the theme of clearing the dust and polishing the lamp. And this is part 8. Can you believe we've been at it that long? Anyway, I'd like to talk today about, we've been talking about different things, body, heart, mind, soul, consciousness. And this I'd like to dedicate today to purifying the mind, the heart, and the soul through the performance of Zikr. And there's some things that I'd like to say building up to leading this practice and sharing this practice with all of you. I'm going to first read from the healing papers, and this is on purity. And the more detailed subject of this is looking at a foreign element in the mind. And so how can we cope with that? And how can we purify that is really the subject. So these are the words of Hazrat Anayat Khan Pira Murshid. Two rules make one understand the process by which the mind could be nourished and purified. The mind is nourished by thoughts and impressions that are harmonious and productive. And these thoughts that are harmonious and productive are of beauty, which results in satisfaction. For harmony is the nature of the soul, and beauty is the source and goal. By harmony and beauty, the mind is nourished as it is made of harmony and beauty. The same elements are needed to purify the mind of all undesirable thoughts and impressions. Harmony as water and beauty as soap. Purifying the mind of thoughts which are void of harmony and beauty. The first thing in purifying the mind, and I want to step back here for just a moment, or maybe I'll go forward. I want to give a little commentary, but let me complete this thought of Murshid's. Again, Murshid is the name we give to Hazrat Anayat Khan. It's his title. The first thing in purifying the mind is being able to discern the foreign element. Well, this, I think, can be most challenging, because can we discern it? How do we discern it? You know, the purification breaths every day will help with that, because it will help almost like a reset point for our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and our consciousness. Because it clarifies things. So remember those practices that we've done the past few months and take them as your own. If you're a Murid in this circle, and even if you're not, if you've been a Murid of others, you know you've been doing the purification breaths. They're one of the main practices that are given on the path. So those breaths can be easily seen. Please, anyone that's new here, can go to the website and they can find a link to the purification breaths through the search function if you'd like to do those. Now, the first thing in purifying the mind is being able to discern the foreign element. As all that is foreign to the body does not agree with the body, making it ill, so all that is foreign to the mind disturbs the peace of mind. And it is that which proves that it does not belong to the mind. So when we look at the mind and something's disturbing our peace, now Murshid's told us this is a good way to understand that that's not something that should be there. But how do we help to uproot it or clarify it or soften it? We're going to hopefully learn some methods and receive some blessings from Murshid along the way today. So Murshid goes on to say is such things as worry, anxiety, fear, sorrow, or any sort of disturbance that takes away that tranquility of the mind, preventing it from experiencing that joy and peace for which it longs, in which alone is its satisfaction. So now when we find we're agitated or we're worried or we have anxiety, or maybe we're angry or maybe we're confused, we know that we have to somehow find our way back to take this foreign element, look at it. Perhaps it's informing us in some way. I know when those things arise in my mind, and those of you that know me well know that I've told you the same thing, is I sometimes dialogue with that, whatever that is, to try to understand what the message is. Because sometimes there's a message there. And if one can understand that message, then one can also help to relieve oneself and unburden oneself. So I've also been using that technique. Some of you know that I've had some challenges physically, and I've been using that technique by talking to my own body and asking what the message is. And I'm happy to report that it's actually working. I saw the doctor yesterday and we were practically doing somersaults because all things are moving in a very positive direction. And those of you that also are dealing with such things, please consider that. And you know that I've given you that advice as well. So one way one could manage to sort of understand these, you know, look into the mind is, Murshid says it can be said in a few words, to throw away disharmony by the power of harmony and to wash away all that likes beauty by preserving the great power of beauty within oneself. Now, this is what I want to say. I remember Murshid Avira I don't know who this is. Anyway, I'm getting all these messages. I need to mute things. I thought I did, but anyway. Murshid Avira, I had heard her give instructions to someone that was a parent that had suspected that perhaps their child had been inappropriately handled or abused. And Murshid Avira didn't talk about or didn't ask about how that might have happened. That wasn't her issue. That wasn't her question. That wasn't her duty. Her duty was to focus on the parents and the child that perhaps this had happened to. And her response to the parents was, and here it is, because this is exactly what Murshid's telling us. Find something that the child loves to focus on, an object of beauty. She did suggest something from nature, and this is where we've done these two, the concentration practices. Have the child focus on this object of beauty, and then have the child close their eyes and see that object of beauty inside, and let them continue to impress themselves with something of beauty. And that will help heal this dark spot that perhaps is in their heart or mind. So we too can do that. And as Sufis, we know our teachers have sometimes said to meditate on a statue or a photo or a drawing or painting of an illuminated being that inspires us. For some, that might be Buddha or Jesus or even a picture of Murshid, of course, is very good. We have a lot of those available. Also beautiful sceneries, you know, things like that. But of course, these illuminated beings can give us a lot of courage as they give us examples. And we know that they were human beings or energies that manifested in human form, and this helps us to contemplate. Or a mandala is also something, a yantra, something of beauty that has harmony and beauty within it. Use that to help heal oneself. Is that clear? Okay. These instructions you've probably received before, although maybe not all of you. So I'd like to work with the Zikr phrase, because for me, this is one of the things that it's like a home base for me. I return to this again and again, because it does help. The purification breaths help, and the Zikr helps. And what is the Zikr phrase? The Zikr phrase is, if you will all look at, I don't know what devices you're on, but I think if you go to window, is that true? Let me think here. Oh no, go to the bottom of your screen. You see where there's chat? Can you click on chat? And I need to do this again, don't I? Hold on. I'm going to write these words because these are the words as given by Murshid. And I want you to know that they are different than maybe you've learned it. So you see the words? Can you see them? Okay. Yeah? Okay. So the words as Hazrat Naik Khan gave them, and they may be different than what other traditions use, and that's fine. They all have a purpose and a function. And also, we know that when we use these languages, sometimes they're dialectical, and so they may be different, but we're going to experiment so you understand the difference. And the Zikr phrase is la, el, la, ha, el, a, la, hu. That's very interesting. I know just a wee bit of Arabic, having lived in the Middle East. And what I know about la is it means no. L is like an article for a noun, so it's like the. La, again, is no. Ha is like opener of the heart. L is, again, like a yes. So this is doing no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. It's a binary system. And then Allah, of course, is the name of God in Arabic. And who is that divine presence, calling upon divine presence. Now, it's so interesting that we're doing this. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Because in fact, is that's what we do all the time. When we're interacting with people, there's this dialogue going on inside. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So the Zikr highlights that. But also the Zikr is in two parts. So la, el, la, ha. We could even add the next L to it. That means there is nothing. Nothing exists. And then Allahu is God is here. God is present. So in all of this, it's all God. There's been some beautiful teachings lately of the Bull of Saki. And those of you that maybe aren't subscribed to it, I don't know, Robert and Janice, if you are, but if you're not, it would be good for you to subscribe so you'll know what I'm referring to. There are two different subscriptions you can go to, but they're usually
can you email them to us?
I can email you the no, I can Links. Email you the link so you can subscribe.
Thank you.
I'll do that. Sure. Thank you. I might need a reminder after the class, so please do. Okay. So Murshid's been in the last week, he's been talking a lot. In fact, today it might have been that in all things, we may identify all things or people, good or bad. But the truth is, in all of that is God. So if we can get to that perspective, which is a very open, big view, then we'll accomplish something. But we need to remind ourselves all along the way to do it. Now, first part of the phrase, la el laha, means there's nothing. El Allahu, only God is. So you can see that there's this negation and an affirmation. In Sufic terms, we call that fana. In fana, it's like an absolute submission or dissolving giving up the ego self, the small self. That's Fauna, F-A-N-A. And Baka, B-A-Q-A, is resurrection. So we could say this is like the phoenix that has gone through the test of fire. Life certainly does that. We don't have to seek it. It just happens. And we can go through this. And once we do, we become wiser. Our hearts become hopefully more compassionate. And then we can rise above it. Now, this term is also used, Fauna and Baka, in relationship to the teachers, our teachers. We want to surrender our small self and model the teacher. And by doing so, we can raise ourselves up out of a limited self. Also, Mersha teaches us, Hazard and Akan, that when we're thinking about the zikr, because there's emotion that goes with this zikr, he says the left side is our limited self. And the right side is the unlimited self. And so those of you that have been following, you know we've done things like the Kasab practice, breathing in one nostril, out another, in the nostril, out the other. These are all related. They're interrelated. Things aren't in isolation. They're interdependent. So when we do this zikr, we're wiping away, as we've been talking about, clearing the lamp and polishing the heart. So we're kind of helping to wipe away these impressions that the small self wants to cling to, often identify with, which have nothing to do with who we really are, but it's a comfortable place to live. We think that's who we are. So we do that. La Elaha. And then we take sweep, and then we bring this knowledge of this unlimited self into our being. El Allahu. And it's just a sweeping motion that's like a, think of it as an arc or cradle to the heart. So we're also polishing that mirror as it was like we're drawing a cloth across the heart, picking up all the dust on that lamp so that the light of the soul can shine through and radiate, okay? So that's another meaning. And then again, I think that's enough for now. I won't say more. I'm going to skip down for a moment because I have something at the bottom of this page that I think, no, I'll come back to it. Let me just go back and follow what I have here. So now, just for a little bit, maybe just only 11 of these, let's do this with the breath only. I'll say the phrase and you can use your breath. And so on this zikr, we're going to use the exhalation first while we consider, and you can look at the words if it helps you, and I'll say them for us. And we're just going to sweep back and forth. So sometimes you see people doing the zikr like this, where they say, La Elaha, El Allahu. That's how we're going to make this motion. We'll do it differently in a bit. So as we sweep, again, it's like we're wiping the dust off this lamp, and then we're bringing the knowledge of God. We're bringing the knowledge of God, and we're pouring it back into our being, informing the limited self, okay? And we're just using the breath. On this one, we're going to breathe out as we go from left to right, and we'll breathe in as we go from right to left. So we're clearing, emptying, and we're filling up again. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, okay. So let's do this. I'll say the words, you can just use your breath, and we'll start. Left to right, right to left. First is La Elaha El Allahu. Blow into the heart. La Elaha El La Elaha El Allahu. La Elaha El Allahu. La Elaha El Alahu. La Elaha El Alahu. La Elaha El Alahu. La Elaha El La Elaha El Alahu. La Elaha El Alahu. La Elaha El Alahu. La Elaha El La Elaha El Alahu. Will you continue with me for a few minutes silently? I'd like to do the breath with this as well myself to set the attunement with you. To see a few other people have joined. Thank you for finding your way to us. All right, now we go back to the teaching. And Murshid says about this, you know, people may ask, why do we use these funny words or different words or whatever? I know none of you do, but other people might. And since we have this online, we want to help clarify that. Murshid says, an ordinary person will take it as words that belong, so this phrase or other sacred words, an ordinary person will take it as words that belong to a certain language. But such words have belonged to mystics. They never belong to any language. The languages have taken them. People have used them expressing different things. However, the mystics have gathered them together. The mystics have gathered them together. Like a chemist would collect herbs and all different things in order to use them for medicine. So this is our spiritual medicine. Mystics have collected these words, words of great power and revelation, in order to produce a desired effect. So now Murshid goes on further, and these papers are part of the papers that are considered they're called the collective interviews. They're not really public, but you know, here's my feeling. There should be no secrets. And I know sometimes in some organizations, there's a kind of hierarchy about what's given when and how. But the truth is we need these teachings more than ever. Initiate or not, if these practices speak to someone and they want to use them, then I feel it can only do good in the world. And let's let them have it. So Murshid says in these collective interviews, by the way, were conversations or lectures, sometimes accompanied with question and answer, that Murshid had with his more advanced students during summer schools in Suresnes, in just outside of Paris. So that's where this paper comes from that I'm reading from. Now Murshid says, And I will say, in some of the other traditions, we hear the phrase la ilaha il Allahu, and this is la ilaha el Allahu. Instead of il, I-L, it's il, E-L. Mirsha derived the titles that were given in initiation, as well as this zikr phrase. There were other influences, but they're from Persia. Not so much Arabia, so that's why there's a difference. And this sound is very different, and we will experiment with that a bit because I think it's important. So right now at the offset, well, let me tell you about this first, and then we'll experiment with il versus el, and you'll see for yourself what you feel in your body. So Murshid says, the most important part of this zikr is el. And it's the central word. So we hear it at the beginning, la elaha, but then el Allahu. That's the one he's talking about, the central one. And it has this action, which has an action and an influence upon the solar plexus when rightly done. If rightly done, one will profit in 6 weeks. Why? Why will one profit? This is what Murshid teaches us. The action strikes upon the nervous system. When it's put into action, it's like, you know, when I was living in India and I was with the Tibetans, some of them carried still pieces of flint, right? So they'd strike them and it'd be a way to start the fire. There'd be a spark. Right? So this is what we're doing. We're creating a spark of light. It's also like if you find a round stone in nature, I hope you understand that there's probably something very precious in there. And sometimes people will cleave that, and when it opens up, it's a geode and there's beautiful, colorful crystals inside. Same thing. We're opening ourselves up so the beauty that's inherent within that may be covered can arise and manifest to view. So Murshid again says, the action strikes upon the nervous system, which is then put into action. And he says, joy arises, not dependent on outer things. It comes from the heart. One can put the heart there and feel the action. Every day, for 5 minutes, say the word L. Then the center is awakened, inspiration comes, healing becomes easy, turning a person's life becomes easy. Others too can be tuned. So we can tune ourselves, and by doing that, you know, there are just some people that you know that you just want to be around because they make you feel good. Well, they're tuning you, and we can do that too. So others too can be tuned, because on the inner plane, we are all connected. And of course, science is teaching us this. Murshid in his day used these words like a telephone central station, which is what, if you used to want to make a phone call, you went to an office and there were all these phones and operators, and that's how it was done. And so that was all, they were all connected that way. So now we know that consciousness can be shared. And what happens in one place of the world influences all of us. And it doesn't take the news to tell us that. We feel it anyway, if we have any sensitivity whatsoever. So I would like to, just for a moment, would you put your hand kind of under the breast area, sort of between the breast and the navel on your tummy, okay? And we're going to make the sound ill, I-L first. I want you to observe how that feels in your body, where you feel it resonating. Is there a constriction or expansion? Just pay attention, okay? No right or wrong, it's just what it is, and we're gonna experiment with it. So first we're gonna say il, I-L. And we're gonna move the head slightly down as if striking the solar plexus. And this we could think of like a gong, boom, that sets up a vibration, because Murshid also talks about the solar plexus is like a reflector. What happens there starts a movement, and it vibrates and it is reflected in the heart. Okay, so it sounds rather complex, But if we do the practice, which we will do, you'll see. And it's not something you're going to get in this class. You have to work with it, practice it, and feel it for yourself. So first, again, IL. Put your hand, you can put them both on there if you want to. Let's take a deep breath, and we're going to lower the head. When we say ill, it's like we're striking, we're striking that geo to get the light and the beauty to be revealed. Ill. 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 Pay attention. Where is the vibration? Ill. 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 Now for a basis of comparison, we're going to say L. Notice what's happening again. L. 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 E-L. L. 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 L, L, L. Now I'd like to ask, would someone be willing to share what they experienced?
L is a higher frequency.
What do you mean by a higher frequency?
It felt like a higher frequency within the body system.
Okay.
Within the nervous system.
Was there
or
more,
the sound system.
More or less vibration?
Less vibration with the L.
Okay, did everyone have that experience?
No, I felt like ill went lower down my spine and L went up. And I like them both.
Okay.
Yeah, L was higher up here as opposed to down towards the belly.
Okay, that's very interesting to observe. I think you're both you both have a piece of that. That's great. Nur Latifa, Atun, anyone?
I was going to say it's I felt L was softer, mm-hmm. and it felt like ill was a knife cutting a cord, and L felt more like it was in the same kind of lifting up, softening the heart. It felt like it sort of took the base of the heart and softened it.
Okay, good, good.
I felt ill up in my upper chest and it kind of stayed there. And then when we did L, it shot down lower than that and then sort of sprang up. Like there was more movement, but it definitely went, like you said, down into the solar plexus and like bounced up.
Yeah. Anyone else? Kareem, Safiya?
To me, I felt hell hoppier, but ill was lower below the abdomen, but hell was, I felt it hoppier.
Yeah, and thank you so much, because I think you all have experienced it. You don't have to trust what I say. Mudita, do you want to add anything?
I think I'm just saying kind of what everyone else has said. I feel like ill was solar plexus to belly button, and L was from that bridge between the solar plexus and the heart to kind of almost the bottom of the throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the L part.
Yeah, I think that you all have really experienced it. For me also, there was a more of a reverberation or vibration with L, and probably that's what we're all talking about, because it touched a greater part of our being or our bodies even. We could feel it physically. So Murjita Diet, in our conversations, because we worked on some papers together on the performance of Zikr and the meaning of Zikr, and one of the things that you know, we came to was that Murjita Diet always said that Pir Murshid Hazrat Naikon's Zikr, they referred to it as the gentle singing Zikr. And that's what we're talking about. I think we are all realizing that it was more, a little more uplifting, and it was a little more gentle, that vibration. He would also say that it was maybe more receptive in nature, where maybe we could say more feminine in nature even, where ill is a little, you know, like you said, Nur Latifah, kind of like a knife cutting through. And it can be considered a little more masculine or Jalal, or the ill is more Jamal. But just pay attention. They have very different reasons for being. But in this zikr, it is L. So we'll use that. So think of that, that L. And I want you to remember what he said, that this has an influence upon the solar plexus. And he says that we can profit within 6 weeks. Meaning, and I've heard it said, there have been witnesses to the fact of working with this zikr and working with the L, that people have overcome incredible depression. They've overcome illnesses and confusion, and many things have happened. But this is like this beautiful key that we're being given that can help cure us, uplift us, heal us, clarify us, and help with, again, things get stuck in that solar plexus. And that's a very large region of the body. But also, you know, those of you that practice yoga, that center around the navel is like the grand central station. It's kind of the nervous system central from which all the signals come to the whole body. So we want to make sure that it's healthy, that it's open, that it's not hardened. So again, L can help break it open, remove the congestion, and so forth. So you can experiment, if you wish, with both these, the ill and the L. Just do them 11, you know, 33 times, see what you feel as your practices. So he goes on to say, the action strikes upon the nervous system, which is put into action, and joy arises, not dependent on outer things. I think I already read this. So he says, do it for 5 minutes. If you have 5 minutes, great. If you don't, do it a little bit and see what happens. Because it does awaken, inspiration comes, healing becomes easier. It's tuning our life to become easier, easy. We can tune others, not that we wish to, but if our atmosphere helps to uplift people, all the better. And again, because on the inner plane, we're all connected. We're all connected. So the other word that he had given us directions to use is who. Who, H-U. And he says, Murshid's instructions are, this exercise must be produced from the depth of the being. And he says, it releases the solar plexus from all gases, and the center becomes clearer. Intuitive faculties become clearer. It takes away confusion, congestion, and depression. And he says, do this for 3 minutes. The nerves of the solar plexus are very fine. In this physical center, the highest spirit functions in that center, in the solar plexus. He goes on to say, it seats the throne of God. So it's like the throne is anchored, you know, like the feet, the base of the throne is anchored there in the solar plexus. And on the seat where that divine being, that holiest of beings is in the heart. Think about it. So we have the seat, and then we have the chair or the throne, and then the seat, and that's the heart. So let's work with this. And we'll do it again just a few times. And you can say the sound with me. It's important. And we're going to say, we're going to just do this again to the left. We're considering the solar plexus. And we'll take a breath in and focus on the heart. So down with L, breathe in. I'm sorry, who, and breathe into the heart and pause. Okay? Let's do it together. Make the sound go to that solar plexus. So when you do these practices, think of it, you're like that miner panning for gold, and these vibrations are allowing you to sift just so you can get those gold nuggets, okay? So those are like the miners used to take and put their little pans down in the riverbeds, and then they would shake them and put water on them to let all the debris wash away, which is what we're doing, the congestion. And then gold, gold. Now, a small story that Pier Vilayat used to tell frequently about this practice. When he was a younger man, he was engaged to someone other, you know, he was engaged. And he and his fiance were on a motorcycle together, and they had a terrible accident. And it resulted in the fiance dying from the accident. And he, of course, I mean, I also have had students that have been in car accidents and were responsible, and it's called an accident for a reason, but they felt responsible, I should say, for having killed someone. And it's a very hard thing to bear and a hard thing to overcome. And but Pier Vilayat told us, and this was in public, he didn't tell me this just privately, it was public to our, when we were in leaders training with him, that this practice, he locked himself in a room, and for 6 weeks he did this practice along with listening to music, which for him really spoke to him because he was a musician also. And so the music helped to heal him, and he, when he emerged, he felt he was relieved of the burden that he had put upon himself for her death. So that's something we can take to heart. That's a master that's speaking to us that tells us how this practice is useful, and applied it to his own life and his own healing. A few more words, and then we're going to come. A few more words. So Murshid also teaches us, and think about this when you enter into this practice, if you're with other people, but if you're not, we have a workaround. So he says, in zikr, we may become able to arrange the atoms in order to, in order and rhythm and harmony. So we're rearranging the atmosphere and the atoms, even within our own body. I know my sister and I had the opportunity to be in California, and we had some meetings with remarkable beings, let's put it that way. And one amongst them, which was a surprise to us, we were sort of invited into for a private conversation with some of these beings. And a professor, I think from Stanford, came. He was friends also with these people. And his name, you might want to note it, is Dr. Bruce Lipton, like the tea Lipton. And he works in the field of psychology and also philosophy. But he's also working with this idea that, and he firmly believes, that we can re-script our DNA with our thoughts and with our practices. So that's what Murshid's saying here too. He's saying, in Zikr, we may become able to arrange the atoms in order and rhythm and beauty. When you read, when students, when we chant in groups, we magnify the power of the atoms. And Zikr awakens the soul so as to produce alertness. You know, that's why after Zikr, you know, those of us that go to the Zikr meetings or camps, sometimes you're just wide awake after it. You can't get to sleep. We should do Zikr in the mornings and not in the evenings, I think. We'll be awake all day and alert. But he says, it awakens the soul so as to produce alertness and ecstasy. And we know we also feel that ecstasy. We feel like we're just love, pure love. Just so beautiful. So Zikr, La Ilaha El Allahu, sometimes pronounced La Ilaha El Allahu, may be called the finest thought expressed in the finest material form with the highest spiritual purpose. That's a lot. Zikr may be called the finest thought expressed in the finest material form with the highest spiritual purpose. And it becomes the perfection of sounds uttered from the tongue. Perfection of sounds uttered from the tongue. Does that excite you or give you an optimistic feeling? Or how does that feel? I mean, to me, it just makes me feel joy just thinking about it and reading about it. Do you feel that also? Good. I'm so glad. Thank you. Okay. So now we're going to go on. And I'm sorry I'm spending a lot of time reading, but I want to conclude with actually the performance of the Zikr in singing form. And just a few more words here. So breath, which we're going to be using. We're using it. I use it as I speak. You're using it as you sit there. We'll use it as we sing. Breath keeps the body, heart, and soul connected. It's like the string on our malas. It consists of astral vibrations and has much influence upon both the physical and the spiritual existence. The first thing a Sufi undertakes in order to harmonize the entire existence is the purification of the heart. Well, hopefully over the last 8 months, we've made some progress on that, because that's what we've been talking about. We've been working with that, polishing the lamp. So are we ready to sing some Zikr? Flipping back and forth. All right. So I was told that the sound of this is acceptable. I'm going to play what's called a Shruti box. It was made for me in India. I had it made in a special way because I wanted certain notes. So when I open this, I'm sure many of you have seen these. It has a bellow. It's like a little accordion. And it makes this sound. Does that sound okay to everyone?
Yes.
Good. Now I got a little tickle. So if I cough, don't cough. Just follow the zicker and sing the words, okay? So let me push my seat back just a bit so I can put this treaty box on my lap. This is the zicker of an icon, and he applied these words to a famous rag called Biram rag. The rags are, ragas, the musical expressions in India are, if you know, you understand that they are only sung, certain are sung only in winter or spring or summer or autumn. And also sometimes they're only sung at certain times of day. So the rhythm and the sound is different. And the melody, I guess I should say, is different because there's many of these. But they're very specific to tune us to the atmosphere of the time of day or the season. This one is kind of called the king or the queen of the rags because it doesn't have those limitations. This can be sung anytime, any season, and in that way, it's significant, at least to me, because that zikr doesn't have any limitations. It's very open, it's inclusive, it can touch every part of the day and every season, and it has a universal quality to it. So that's what we'll be singing. I would ask you to listen. It's La Ilaha El Allahu. That is sung two times with the same melody. Then the third one goes up a little bit, and then the fourth one comes back to the original two. So will you listen, and then you can begin singing so we catch it. And God willing, I'll be able to sing it. Okay, a few more words, sorry. I feel like I have to say a few more words. These are words by Pura Murshid Hidayat Inayat Khan, the son of Hazra Inayat Khan. And he talks about, as if you haven't had enough to think about, but that's okay. Let's think about this also. He says, in zikr, when one reaches upward, on the left side of the circle. So we're going to sweep from the left to the right, and our head will come down slightly. We're considering making this crescent that's holding the heart. And as we come here, we're not going all the way back. We're making a slight, like we're sort of observing the hands on the face of a clock. And he's saying, when one reaches the right side of the circle, which one is visualizing while chanting. So we're going to go, la, la, la. Then he says, as we're doing this, we're absorbing through the thought and the breath, the subtle energy of the divine presence. Okay. So think about that when we say, la, la. We're bringing in and absorbing the subtle energy of the divine presence. And then he says, when tracing the circle, so we're going to do that with our la, 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 then our head comes down. La, la, la. And he says this. Then while tracing the circle downward on the left, chanting the words El Allahu, one pours the subtle energy of the divine presence into the heart by the way of thought and breath. And he says, again, this instruction is different than some other zikrs. One stays, we keep the head down to the left, resting upon the heart. It's like this chivalrous bow. It's like this acknowledgement of what we've absorbed and what we're now presenting to the heart. One stays down on the left side, resting upon the heart during one beat, making sure not to rise again until the next repetition of the zikr begins. Now, if at all possible, it's also good to be able to sing the whole phrase on one breath. If it's hard, just take a little sip of air and continue. But it also has an influence. We're making a slight rotation at the base of the spine, just very, very slight. The head really isn't doing so much the action. It makes a slight motion. But this, you can imagine, is stimulating the spinal fluid. Okay? So this is very healthy for the spine, the back, the very lower back, and it creates this kind of motion. It's a sweeping motion. Again, we're gathering those subtle energies of divine presence from the whole universe as we make this motion. So listen, four phrases, the third one's different. Then you can begin with me. Thank you. just with the sound who. Let's sing the whole phrase. I want to thank all of you for being persistent and sticking with me. I think we probably left a few people behind from the caravan, but it's okay. It's recorded and they'll be able to catch up. Thank you, Tanzin, for your sweet comment. Welcome. Just a few remarks again. I will put this, make sure this text is on the website. I also have... it's more of a computer synthesized, the melody of the zikr. So would that be helpful for me to post so you could follow the rhythm and also the notation, you know? I'll post a link there. I'll make sure that audio file is available. And now it comes the part of every speaker where they have to ask for generosity, and I think everyone here has already given. They've already paid in advance. They're paying on an ongoing basis. But I'll just put that out there for the sake of the recording that, of course, the ways to donate are through the website, sufi-message.org, and just click on donate. There are all the different methods of donating are there. And then, of course, let's just take a moment. I don't know about you, but I feel immense gratitude to Murshid for this teaching. Immense gratitude for the people that were persistent to stay, and immense gratitude for those that came and had to be turned away because the technology, it wasn't really the technology's fault, it's the operator's fault, but we'll figure that out, make sure it doesn't happen again. And gratitude for this life, this body, the ability to see, hear, think, feel, touch, smell. And we ask that anything of beauty, of harmony that's been created today, any goodness that may have arisen, any wholesomeness, that we send it in ever widening circles, that it may benefit all beings. And may all beings know peace and love and be nurtured in all the ways a human being and all beings in their own unique way, looking out at the sea, the creatures of the sea, whatever all beings need, may they have it. And we please hold in our hearts and minds. We know there's so much strife around the world. Maybe it find clarification. May people be able to live in peace. And this month, as we do this practice, and I would encourage you to do so, remember Murshid said when we're in a group, we can actually rearrange the atoms. Well, you know, when I do my practices, I imagine you are all here. We're all sitting together doing the practice. So maybe you could think of that. You know, we're together and you invoke our beings to sit with you, you know, and be with you to support you in your practice. But also think of offering that to the whole universe so that there can be all the goodness that Murshid expressed in these teachings. So we dedicate whatever merit we've generated. May it benefit all beings. And we're included in that all beings. Let us say the Khatum together. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Ah.